Welcome to tonight's pre-opera talk, looking at Missy Mazzoli's opera, Breaking the Waves. Now, Missy Mazzoli and Royce Vavrek give us this heart-wrenching opera inspired by the Lars von Trier film of 1996. And it tells the story of Bess, a woman in an extreme environment in Scotland, 1970s, defying her community of faith and all those around her as well. Now, the opera was commissioned back at Opera Philadelphia back in 2016. And after that, it kind of packed off and went to Europe, and it got a new treatment by producer Tom Morris, and he added some projections and some other issues, and so now it's finally triumphantly returning back to the U.S., and the first stop is here in Detroit. As a matter of fact, this production also marks the first main stage production at Detroit Opera, which features an opera by a female composer, so we are very excited about that, and we know very well it will not be the last. Now, speaking of exciting, I'm particularly thrilled about our guest today for this pre-opera talk. She is the conductor for tonight's performance. She's basically made her debut here at Detroit Opera with this production, which opened this past Saturday. This Franco-British conductor, known for her strong ideas, lucid communication, and intensely focused energy on both sides of the Atlantic. Already this season, she has debuted for the Paris Opera Ballet, the Hamburg State Opera. She debuted with Cleveland Orchestra just last month. She leaves us here in Detroit after this production to Cincinnati Orchestra in May. She's in Sarasota Music Festival in June, followed by the Prague State Opera and her debut with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra in July. I'm just exhausted just telling you what she's been doing in the last few weeks. We are excited that she will be in conversation with Detroit Opera's music director, Roberto Kalb. Please welcome Roberto Kalb and Stephanie Childress.
Thank you. Good evening.
All right. Hi, everyone. Oh, I forget how blinding these are. So, okay. So before we go into the question section, let's tell us your background, where you were born, how did you start into music, all of that, and then we'll start with some cool questions.
Okay. Well, I was born in London. To a French mother and American father who are here tonight from across the pond. Mum and Dad, I think you won't mind me saying this, very amusical family. I don't come from a musician's background at all, but I fell in love first with the violin. I remember I was 4 years old and I saw Nigel Kennedy performing the Four Seasons live in concert, and apparently I was just transfixed, and I started asking for violin lessons soon after, and that all sort of snowballed and I started playing the fiddle. But it was always sort of a serious hobby as opposed to something that I wanted to do long term, and it's only when I started playing with other people, so like in youth orchestras, and discovering that aspect of music making that can be very much focused on community and on being a part of a larger whole. And B, also when I discovered opera at the age of 12 or 13, that I decided that not only was I going to pursue music as a profession, which I previously thought, you know, was the last thing on my mind, but I also wanted to kind of have a more eagle-eye perspective of the music-making process. And I remember I would skip school and sneak into the English National Opera. They gave me a pass as a teenager, and I just watched these rehearsals. And I was amazed to see how the conductor particularly at the time, the music director, Edward Gardner, was just so in control of everything. And, you know, especially in opera, when you're dealing with so many different moving parts, you've got the singers, the orchestra, but the stagehands and the director as well, and the set designer and the lighting, you really have to be a part of it, and you have to really know all these moving parts and be aware of everything around you. And I think that's something that you maybe don't find in the same way when you're conducting a symphonic repertoire. So that really intrigued me, and I continued my studies and was very lucky to get an agent, and then that's how everything snowballed from there.
Tell us a little bit about this particular piece and how you prepared for it. Maybe you can tell us How do you prepare for a contemporary piece as opposed to something that was written a long time ago? I know you conduct a lot of Mozart. What are the differences?
Well, one lovely thing is that the composer is still with us, so I could always reach out to Missy if ever I had a question about the score, which is a luxury that we can't always afford, despite some of the best scholarship, especially with Mozart and with other composers that are no longer with us. But it's always an exciting challenge as well, because you know that this piece doesn't yet have a rich performance history just by the fact that it's, you know, only 7 years old, or 7, 8 years old. And that's very exciting, because you feel as though you're really at the forefront of the building of that legacy, or what the legacy could be for this work. So it's also a great deal of responsibility. You know, you don't just look at the score and say, oh, well, no one's done it before, so I can do whatever I want. No, it's really, how do I pass it on to the next conductor or to the next generation, and how do I ensure that this piece is so well presented that it will stay in the canon and that it will continue to be performed? So that's actually quite a heavy responsibility, and something that I don't take for granted.
Okay. Maybe tell the audience here a little bit about what they should listen for. If there were one, I mean, you'll see the production is stunningly beautiful, but sonically, is there a moment or something that they should just keep their ear out for?
Well, one instrument in particular that I think is very cool, and I love every time I can hear it in the texture of the orchestra, is the electric guitar. And we have a fantastic electric guitarist playing in the pit with us. And I think the way that Missy uses that sonority and integrates it into the orchestral texture, sometimes it pops out and sometimes it really blends with what's happening in the strings, for example. I think it's a really versatile and unusual use of the electric guitar, and I hope to see a lot more electric guitars in contemporary operas further down the line. I think sometimes I would love for you all to listen out to the strings, of course. I mean, the strings section is always a very important part of orchestral symphonic music. And in this opera, I think there are beautiful moments when the strings are kind of surging up and down. And of course, we're dealing with waves, and we're dealing with a community that is away from, you know, the world at large, and this sense of isolation, but also this sense of really being transported by something. And I think that's what the sort of wave music represents. And I hope you can hear that in the surging strings.
Is there a moment that you, at least I find when I do some contemporary works, that it can be very difficult. You know, you're really counting ensemble, you're trying to be very accurate. Is there a moment in the piece where you just relax, where you feel totally at ease?
Yeah, when the strings are playing for that particular music. Yeah, it's very relaxing to conduct, because you yourself feel transported. But there are moments also when I'm only kind of, I feel like I'm accompanying the singer, and the singer is really leading the entire musical passage rather than me leading it. And I really enjoy those moments, because we have a fantastic cast as well. And I love just giving them that agency and just being there to enable their gorgeous voices and the storytelling that they are partaking in.
Okay, so now some questions about you, maybe so we get to know you a little bit better. Outside of music, what do you do for fun?
Well, I'm often on a plane, so I read a lot. I love reading. And one good thing for jet lag, I find, is running. So I'm a keen runner. I've done a few half marathons. I quite like that. And I learn languages, which sounds really nerdy, but I think as conductors, it can be very useful especially when you're an opera conductor and looking through different librettos. And so I studied Russian when I was a teenager, and now I'm full force in German. And yeah, I just find learning languages so interesting, not just from a musical point of view, but because when I'm meeting, you know, of course, musicians and orchestras, but also just people on my travels, it's just that immediate kind of communication that you can have with a person, and also showing them you've made the effort to learn a bit of their language, I find is often quite a nice gesture, I hope. I've still not mastered American, but maybe you guys can help me with that.
What languages do you speak?
I speak English just about French, Russian and German and learning Spanish.
Podemos practicar. Okay. Okay, this was an interesting one. If you could swap places with anyone in the production, who would you swap with?
I would swap with Terry, who is played by the fantastic Bobby Mellon. He is really one of the shining lights in this story. I mean, he brings moments of his character, but also Bobby as a person brings moments of joy and lightness, and also he does get involved in some really tragic moments as well, and he opens up as well to Jan, who's his best friend, and in a way that sometimes we don't see men opening up to each other in that way on stage, let alone in real life. But I think Bobby's a great guy, so I'd love to be his character, Terry.
I wouldn't have guessed, that's very cool. Okay, this can be tricky, so you don't have to choose three of each, but you can decide. Top three dead conductors, okay. Top three living conductors, and why?
Top three dead conductors, I would probably say Maris Janssens, Bernard Haitink, and Sir Charles Mackerras. Top three living conductors, I would probably say my old mentor in St. Louis. I was an assistant in St. Louis for three seasons, Stefan Deneuve. Semyon Bychkov, I've been listening to a lot of his Shostakovich. There's some great Shostakovich symphonies that he conducted with the WDR. It's all on YouTube. It's fantastic. And third, gosh, I always forget. I would probably have to say Vladimir Yurovsky, just because I love the work that he did with the London Philharmonic Orchestra, which is one of my hometown orchestras.
I just met him. My wife was singing in Munich, and
he's in Munich.
Yeah, he's in Munich, and he's like, if you see videos of him, look him up. It's worth it. Vladimir Yurovsky, incredible conductor. I saw him do a Shostakovich 8 with the Chicago Symphony, and I will never ever forget that performance. It was out of this world. So in Munich, he was conducting the Passagieren, and he's a really intense guy, and he's like 6'5". And looks kind of like Dracula, a little bit, like a young Dracula. And we all went to the cantina after, and he ended up sitting right next to me. And I was actually, I never get intimidated, but I was very intimidated by him. And he was the sweetest guy. So there you go. You never know. Okay, tell us what's currently on your playlist, on your Spotify.
Oh, gosh, a lot of ABBA. You know, no filter. This is a pretty dark work, and we go to some very dark places. So, you know, on my morning runs, there's nothing better than sort of cranking up the volume to Waterloo or Super Trooper. So I'm a big fan. So they've kept me sane for the last few weeks whilst we've been dealing with some pretty heavy subject matters. But aside from that, right now I'm going back through a lot of Brahms's chamber music. So as an ex-violinist, I used to play a lot in chamber groups, and you know, I'm discovering only now Brahms' cello sonatas, which I've never really had the chance to listen to properly, but also just going through, you know, piano quintet, lots of trios, lots of quartets, and sextets, which I love. And they're really an antidote to any problem one might have on this earth. So yeah, Brahms and ABBA right now.
What's your dream proportion of symphonic versus opera conducting? Like, a percentage, what would you like to do in an ideal world?
Well, I don't know if some of you realize, but opera normally takes much longer to prepare and to deliver than a symphonic program. Usually, if you go to a symphony orchestra, for example, you will go there for the week, maybe you have 3, 4, 5 rehearsals, 2, 3 concerts, and then you're done for the week. Whereas with an opera production, you're there for weeks at a time, sometimes months, and you will have far more performances. So that takes up a lot of time. So in an ideal world, I would say 50-50. Obviously, that doesn't always work out, but I think if I can have at least one or two operas in a season, I'd be very happy.
Okay, one more kind of weird question before we let you go, because you have to. I always hate talking before I conduct. It's the worst thing, because I get so much more nervous talking than conducting, and then I have to go back and okay. Tell us, who do you think are underrated composers, and specifically operas or symphonies that you feel are underrated, and then give us a few overrated ones.
Okay, big underrated composer is Bohuslav Martinů. I'm doing a lot of his work right now. I'm preparing his overture. Crazy guy. He was once so his head was so in the clouds. I think he might have had a form of ADHD, but his head was so in the clouds that he once walked off a roof. That's pretty impressive. I mean, it was a small structure, I'm told, but he once just walked off a roof. But I love his music. I love his symphonies. I think they should be done. They should be done far more. One composer I think is underrated is a British composer called Tansy Davies, whose work I love. She does a lot of electronic things as well. But I remember she composed a piece for the National Youth Orchestra, which I was in at the time, and it just really transformed the way I thought about contemporary music. And she has done an opera, and I'd love her to see her do more operas and see her work be done this side of the pond. Works that are overrated. Oh, gosh.
No one's recording. It's okay.
Oh, I don't want the haters to come at me. I would have to say, you know, it's, I'm going to cop out. But, you know, I think even if there are some works that I don't necessarily adore, I have one. I have one. There's one I really don't like. I don't like Smetana's orchestral music. If you look online, Smetana orchestral music, you'll probably come. They'll probably give you the Moldau, which is this lovely da di da di da dum da di da. It was in The Tree of Life. If any of you have seen that film by Terrence Malick, I think his orchestral music is not very good, and I would much rather listen to his chamber music. So there we go. I do have one.
I have a question, if I may break in. So when I came along in opera, you know, Sarah Caldwell was a female conductor that I would often see at New York City Opera. I was just wondering, as you were coming along, did you ever think, you know, maybe you didn't see your representation, did you ever think, maybe this isn't for me, maybe I'm not welcome to this, maybe this isn't mine? Did you ever go through a period like that, or you always knew this was mine?
No. Yeah, I knew this was mine, but I had some really strong female role models in my life, and I think that's one thing I often tell young women if they ask me, is that as long, it doesn't really matter what industry you're in, for me the most important thing is to see and is to have strong female influences, positive female influences in your life, and that can be in whatever sector. You know, I find heads of corporations really powerful and really inspiring, and that inspires me to be better at my job, even if it's a completely different thing. So don't be afraid to get sources, to source your inspiration from other sectors and other walks of life, because it's all, you know, we're all on the same earth and, you know, all trying to kick ass in some way or another. So, yeah.
So before we let Stephanie go, I just want to share a little bit with you. I'm going to embarrass you just a little bit. Stephanie just got named the principal guest conductor of the Barcelona Symphony. And I'm guessing that's part of your reasoning to learn Spanish. I don't know, maybe not. But I first saw Stephanie conduct in a conducting competition called the La Maestra competition. And I think second place, which was a steal, because she should have totally won that competition. And I remember that the judges kept saying, well, she's so young, she's so young. And I thought, well, so what? She was the best by far, I thought. And I really believe that she is one of the most talented and promising young conductors in the world. And I feel that we're so, so lucky to have her here at the Detroit Opera House. So I'm so glad that you all get to experience her beautiful music making. And so thank you very much for being here, Stephanie.
Thank you, Roberto.
Thank you. I guess we're done then? We're all set. Thank you all so much for being here. I know you're going to enjoy the performance. We'll let them off. Thank you so much for being here.
All right.